This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Our gospel lesson this morning opens with what I think is one of the most raw and heartfelt questions found in Scripture. John the Baptist is in prison, and he's struggling to understand and to comprehend what is happening. He's been preaching and proclaiming with great urgency, calling people to prepare. The winnowing fork is in his hand. The axe lies at the root of the tree. There is no time for delay. Repentance is required now. So when John finds himself in prison, he is alone, isolated, and feels powerless. Nothing seems to be moving the way that he expected. So he begins to wonder if Jesus is truly the promised Messiah. Has John chosen the wrong person? Or does he need to reframe his understanding of God's timing and the way that the kingdom comes? It's a question that seeks clarity and understanding in an effort to align John's expectations with his current reality. But John's question doesn't stay in prison with him. I've heard it many times and in many different forms. How can we reconcile our experience of the world with our belief and our hope in a loving God who overcomes sin and death and war? How do we understand disease and grief and suffering? How do we cope with cruelty and injustice? How do we wait? As priests, we often find ourselves standing in the midst of these questions, at the point where love and hope and dreams collide with loss or disease or suffering. And it's important for us to acknowledge that these types of questions are faithful, they're honest, and they're necessary. And I'm grateful that Scripture gives us multiple examples of devoted people struggling with these questions of faith and hope. I think sometimes we're afraid to admit our struggles or our anger or even our rage in the midst of these moments. But the Psalms and Scripture show that these questions and these emotions are shared with generations of faithful people and reminds us that Scripture leaves room for our questions. Jesus answers John when he's in prison by pointing to the signs, saying the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. It's not so much an answer as it is a reorientation, a reminder. It doesn't negate John's experience, but it does remind him that the world is being changed and transformed. Jesus doesn't tell John that the prison doors will open. He points instead to where life is already breaking through. It's evidence of God's work in the world, a sign that the kingdom is coming, even if the healing is not yet complete. Even though the prison doors remain shut to John, the promise remains that God is at work and that God is bringing transformation and redemption. Jesus is found amidst the suffering and the wounded, not among the powerful. Jesus works in proximity, bringing healing through personal and intimate encounters, not through sweeping or widespread change. The kingdom is real and is breaking in, but it's not yet comprehensive. We're still waiting. We're not abandoned. We're not left alone. Even when we suffer and ask questions out of anger or grief or confusion. One commentary I read this week suggested that, like John, we are offered communion, not consolation. Jesus doesn't deny John's suffering or his struggle. Jesus doesn't offer empty solace or pithy sayings. Jesus reminds John that he isn't alone and that he is surrounded by the inbreaking kingdom. Reminds him that we can see signs of hope and redemption all around us if we just remember to look. We can be hurt, we can be grieving, and we can still be found amidst the kingdom of God. Our salvation comes through solidarity and through community, not through avoidance. This is the scandal of a Messiah who doesn't meet expectations. Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Faith in this way is trust without resolution. It's belief in a timeline that doesn't always meet our expectations, but that we trust will prevail in the end. This faith requires a community, because during difficult times, we can be the reminders to each other that God is still at work in the world and is breaking in and bringing sight and hope and healing. We walk alongside each other through grief, loss, and suffering, but also through joy and celebrations. Sometimes we receive the love and support of the community, and sometimes we're called to help carry others through the dark moments. Not in perfect communities that never fail us, but in real and consistent love that keeps showing up for one another. Advent reminds us in this way that the light always shines, even in the darkness, and that hope and joy are not a denial of suffering or of pain, but are merely a recognition of the light that exists in the world. Our waiting, however, is not resignation or passivity. It's a faithful orientation towards God's work in the world. In the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, God offers the same message that Jesus gives to John the Baptist. Mary does not come with judgment or with power, but with presence. She doesn't promise that suffering will end quickly, but she assures a wounded people that God has drawn near and has not forgotten them. Like John in his prison, Juan Diego is not rescued from hardship. He is trusted with a sign of God's nearness. This is not consolation, it's communion. And so we end with John's question, not as something to solve, but as something to carry. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Advent does not ask us to find the answer. Instead, it shows us how to wait, not alone, not in isolation, but in community, alert for healing where it breaks through, to trust that even behind locked doors, even in silence, God is already drawing near. Blessed are those who take no offense at a Messiah who comes not with certainty, but with presence and love. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.